Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Hello. Firstly, I just have to apologise because over the last few weeks I've prepared multiple times what I was going to say this morning, but yesterday I decided to scrap it and start all over again, much to my husband's anxiety. But I just felt that what I was saying wasn't very real and wasn't very me. So I apologise if it's not so polished, but it's a bit more real. So yeah, let's see how we go. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm Beck, and I've got three daughters, Lacey, who is 7, Ellie's 5, and our baby Audrey, who is almost 1. And I came to LMC when I was about 14 with my family, who are still here, and spent most of my teenage years here, so Ben and I met here. And it's been a real joy for us to come back to LMC with our family in the last 5 years. When Nick asked me to share this morning on Mother's Day, I've immediately felt really ill-equipped to speak on behalf of so many amazing mums in our church. I just really wasn't sure what I would say that would resonate with anyone really. And although our Wallace family has had a presence on this stage over the years, it's definitely not my place. So excuse me if I'm a little bit nervous. But with a bit of encouragement, here I am. So apparently being a midwife and having three daughters of my own, I apparently have some idea about being a new mum. As I've been thinking about what I should share this morning, one of the first things that came to my mind was something that my nan actually told me when our eldest Lacey was just a few weeks old. I remember feeling really confused and overwhelmed, especially with the amount of information us as new mums are bombarded with, and just struggling to kind of find my own way in how I should parent or how I should be a mum. And this is just an example. This is an article that I read last week, which is titled How to Be a Good Mum in 2017. It says, make sure your children's academic, emotional, psychological, mental, spiritual, physical, nutritional and social needs are met while being careful not to overstimulate, understimulate, improperly medicate, helicopter or neglect them in a screen-free, processed food-free, gluten-free, plastic-free, additive and sugar-free, fat-free yet body-positive, socially conscious, equal but not authoritative, nurturing but fostering of independence, gentle but not permissive, pesticide-free, two-storey, multilingual home in a quiet street with a backyard with 1.5 siblings spaced approximately 2 years apart for proper social and emotional development. And it's no wonder we feel overwhelmed. And then I remember my nan saying to me that, Beck, babies haven't changed, that the information that we all are bombarded with has, but that whether we had a baby 60 years ago or last week, that babies haven't changed. And I just found that so comforting, that the way we parent has and the things that we're expected to do might have changed, but really babies over the last generations haven't changed. And so no matter how much experience I'd had looking after mums and babies before I had my own, I think we can all relate to bringing our firstborn home for the very first time. Bringing them home and laying them in their cot, and then looking at each other and saying, okay, now what do we do? That overwhelming sense of love for someone that we've literally just met, matched with an overwhelming sense of responsibility and bewilderment. For me, having a newborn in my home was probably the most enjoyable time of my life, a time where I found like I had truly found my place. I absolutely loved becoming a mum, and it felt to me like it was exactly what I'd been made to do. But as for all of us, it hasn't always been an easy journey. And so here are a few things that I've learned about it being a new mum. I've learned that babies cry, sometimes a lot, and often for absolutely no reason at all. When our firstborn Lacey was born, every time she went through an unsettled phase, we would get all our books out and our lists, and we would go through together every possible reason why she wouldn't be sleeping or crying. Is she too hungry? Is she got a dirty nappy? Is she too hot? Is she too cold? Is she teething? Is she overtired? Is she slept too much? Ben, did you put on her music? Did you get her blanket? Should we try a different dummy? But in fact, she was actually a really lovely, calm, relaxed baby who slept from the night really early on. And at this stage, Ben and I were high-fiving each other, thinking we absolutely had this parenting gig nailed. Life was great and that parenting was actually pretty cruisy. And then 2 years later we had Ellie, who to this day is still the life of the party and a born entertainer. Even last night, she thought she would help me write some things for this morning. And she said, "Mum, just get up on stage and say, I'm a great mum and I think I have the best children." They are very lovely, especially Ellie, who is very sweet, gorgeous and hilarious. And she is my favourite. So for us, Ellie didn't sleep literally at all for the first year of her life, no matter what we tried. So that kind of started our journey of throwing out our parenting books and really to this day just hanging on for the ride. After 3 babies of my own and caring for heaps of others, I can tell you that what I did for one baby does not necessarily work for the next. Or what we did last month doesn't necessarily work this month. Or sometimes what I thought I had down pat an hour ago is out the window now. My babies have taught me to be patient and to be relaxed, to be able to go with the flow, to not sweat the small stuff and to get down on the floor and play. And as cliche as it sounds, to just enjoy the ordinary. I've learnt that we don't have to be perfect and that perfect mums don't exist. And this has taken me 3 children and countless guilt-filled sleepless nights to understand that as mums, especially of little babies, we constantly compare ourselves to others around us. But what I know is that a mum of the newborn phase is absolutely the best thing yet the hardest thing that I have ever done. But I know that we all do our best. And when we get it wrong, and I know we all do, and perhaps me more than most, they are little people are incredibly forgiving and still think that we are the most amazing people in their world. And I think that's pretty cool. I've also learnt that a mother's love is immeasurable and that we are fighters. And when I was studying to be a midwife, we studied this group of refugee women who were caught in the midst of the Somalian famine in the early 90s. And this group of women were all heavily pregnant and due to give birth any day, yet somehow miraculously managed to not go into labour and stay pregnant for sometimes up to 30 or 40 days over their due date until they arrived at the safety of a refugee camp and could give birth safely. And this has stuck with me because I think it's so powerful that women are just innately born to be mothers and protectors and really fight for our babies. And the reason I scrapped all my previous notes and started again is because purposely over the last month I've left out talking about our journey with Audrey over the past year. And many of you would know about Audrey's story, but my journey during this time is something that I've not really spoken about as it's still quite raw and difficult for me. But I felt like just last night, my mothering journey is really incomplete without sharing this last year for us. When Audrey was born, I immediately knew that something wasn't right. But we were sent home a couple of hours after she was born. We spent the next few days at home in bliss with our new baby. However, I still knew in my gut that something just wasn't right. For the next 2 days, we literally couldn't put her down, and every time we did, it was clear that she actually couldn't breathe. But everyone around us was telling us that she was okay and she was just recovering from a really fast birth. It wasn't until she was about 3 days old that I ended up walking her into an emergency department that our world really seemed to fall apart. In an instant, Audrey was pretty much taken from us. She was rushed to the Royal Children's Intensive Care in a life-threatening condition. I've always thought of myself as a pretty strong person and that I take things generally in my stride. But these moments, I wasn't brave and I wasn't very strong and I actually was an absolute mess. From that moment that she was admitted, I physically couldn't leave her bedside day or night. And as much as everybody around me tried to tell myself to go and eat, go and get some sleep or look after myself, instinctively and pretty much unconsciously, everything was within me, was totally focused on this tiny little person. Nothing else to me in the whole world mattered other than her health and getting her home to her family. I don't even think this was a conscious decision I made. I just felt like my feet physically couldn't move from the floor next to her bed. This little person, who I literally had only met 2 days earlier, once again, like her sisters, had completely stolen our hearts and made me fall in love all over again. As the next weeks followed and I couldn't physically stay with Audrey 24/7 anymore, it was the little things that I had always taken for granted with the other two girls that I missed desperately the most. Being woken in the night to her cries, her unpredictable newborn routines, trying to figure out whether she liked to be patted or swayed to sleep, and even simple things like choosing what she would wear and introducing her to her family and friends. But I've learnt that God is good and that we truly do serve a miracle-working God, and our Audrey is a true testament to that. Audrey's prognosis was that she was meant to be in hospital for about 6 months, and after just weeks she got to come home to us. And although this past year hasn't been easy, and even this week she's been back in hospital, as a mum, it at times has been incredibly hard to watch your little person go through so much pain. But I've learnt that we can't do this journey alone. I've learnt that it really does take a village, and the people around us have made it all the difference. I've never realised how much I needed my own mum until I became a mum. I remember when the girls were first born, I was never going to be one of those mums, but I found myself ringing her every day to tell her how much sleep they'd had or what faces they'd pulled or what accomplishment they'd had that day. I've learnt to accept help and lots of meals, and it's okay to not be okay and to let our friends and family into the good and hard times, that we don't have to be perfect and we don't always have to be okay. And that finally our church has been a pillar to us, and I never knew how much I needed my church until this year. I've learnt that our church really does love mums and babies, and that we're truly blessed to belong to such an amazing church family.
Wow, thanks, Beck. That was wonderful. That was very real. And you're a wonderful mother. So, my boys, 7 and 9 years, are rambunctious, irrepressibly cheerful and energetic, demandingly curious, unrelentingly verbal, affectionate, optimistic, extroverted, and undeniably, delightfully boyish. Does this sound familiar? Maybe, maybe not. But these are the ones I've been given for a finite period of time to nurture and raise to adulthood. I am their mother. My name is Amanda. I've often read quotes on motherhood via Google and social media. Most are not very satisfying. Many are downright untrue. Like this one. The natural state of motherhood is unselfishness. When you become a mother, you are no longer the centre of your own universe. You relinquish that position to your children. Now, I'm quite sure that my selfishness did not disappear the moment I gave birth. Nor do I believe anyone should consider themselves the centre of the universe, let alone bestow upon their child that exalted status. Our children are not to be idols. And I also found this often quoted: there is no way to be a perfect mother, but a million ways to be a good one. What matters is that a mother loves her children deeply. Again, not satisfying, as the idea of a million ways is very undefined and a little bit overwhelming. And I know that it actually isn't enough to love your children deeply. By what definition of love? Can my love ever be enough? There is more to mothering than these pithy simplifications. My husband and I have always tried to be intentional in our parenting. And last year we made the rather bold and daring decision to homeschool our boys. So in the process of preparing for their education at home, I did a great deal of reading and thinking about what it means to be a parent educator and to take hold of that responsibility fully and in obedience to God and His Word. I believe a most important priority of a parent is to take to heart and obey Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 to 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. And in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus added, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So loving God is my first. Loving God myself is my first. Then teaching my children to love God and His Word is next. The goal of my mothering, all our parenting and educating of our children is love. That they would love God and hunger after Him and His Word and love others. For what good is all that I can give them? In blood, sweat and tears sometimes, if they don't have love. 1 Corinthians 13 teaches us a precise definition of love, so there's no confusion. And it is God's love, not my own, as I don't have enough. The second great hope I have for my boys is that they would grow in wisdom, not foolishness, and more that they themselves would desire wisdom. Proverbs 2 verse 4 to 5 states that if you seek wisdom like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. To send a son out into the world full of love for God and others and godly wisdom is just about the pinnacle of this mother's hopes and dreams. Whatever else they are or possess, it's all thankfully in God's hands, according to His good purpose. But you may ask, as I did, along with prayer, which is the cornerstone, how can I intentionally parent on a daily basis to see love-based character and virtue grow in my children? Well, I have found encouragement in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, which says, "For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." This is where it can all come crashing down, the implementation of these grand ideals, these sacred commandments, by me, in my own strength, cowardly, flawed, and weak, especially when tired and harassed. Cowardice, timidity, meekness are not from God. They are not a part of His strategy for mothers and parents. In truth, God has given us all, including mums, some very great tools to equip us and enable us fully in this task. In this verse, in 2 Timothy, the first gift is a spirit of power. The power to live a sanctified life, the life God has for you, the power of the Holy Spirit, our helper in all things. The second is love. Again, God's love, unsearchable, unlimited for us and for our children. And the third is self-discipline, or as my husband informs me, the Greek word most closely resembles prudence. Well, that's an interesting word, prudence, meaning care, caution, wisdom, good judgment, sagacity, shrewdness, common sense. God has bestowed this gift of prudence upon me and all mums. And it is exactly what we need to parent and what I need to parent these boys at this stage of their childhood. Right now they are absorbing like sponges, having a tremendous capacity for observation and memory, repeating everything they hear, copying everything we do, a foundation building stage. Still not really able to use their tools of reason and logic, and still quite dependent on us for guidance, care, and discipline. They also lack self-control, are invariably silly, having a tendency to laugh at ridiculous things, and being totally gross, and generally losing the plot. I can sometimes go about my day at home managing dodgy behaviour, poor attitudes, grumpy moods, silly arguments, nagging negativity, and that's just myself. More often than not, the boys' behaviour subtly reflects my own. I'm not saying this to bring me down. It's just simply a general observation that they are extremely sensitive to the greatest influencer in their lives, me. If there is anything I'm learning during this stage, is that my own discipline is much more important than any discipline that I may deal out upon my kids. That's sobering. So thank you, Lord, for prudence, for self-discipline, and for self-control. What I am saying is this: as I get a hold of these gifts from God, power, love, and prudence, meditate on them, pray about them, allow God to release them in me, I find I'm well able to show love and engender wisdom, all in God's mighty power that is at work in me. I'm also learning to allow my mothering and teaching to be transformed by the Holy Spirit, by approaching him every day and asking him to lead me, to quiet my soul, to strengthen me, and to inspire me with his purpose so I can please him and bless my children. I'm learning too that small things done diligently in love every day bear a harvest. So I rest in Jesus, I lean into him, knowing that he is in control, and we do our studies, we read the Bible, we pray, we read aloud wonderful stories every day, we commit scripture to memory, and we share this love-rich life together. I do have other dreams for my boys, that we cultivate wonder, imagination, and eloquence, but let's keep it simple. What I've shared is certainly not anything new in parenting. But he's calling me to be faithful, to do it all for his good pleasure, and to trust him for the results, which may not look like what I was expecting. It's a wonderful thing that God has blessed us with children to teach us so much. And more wonderful that he is every moment along for the ride. He won't let go, so don't let go of him. Our children need us for so much more than the love and material things we can provide. They need us to lead them to Jesus and a life of loving God and others fully. This is holy work. I know for sure that there is so much fruit in intentional, obedient to God parenting. Such value in small steps every day, though one sometimes has to wait for it to show. I got a glimpse of this fruit last weekend when I was unwell, and 7-year-old Nathaniel wrote a song and sang it to me. I'll finish with his words. I love you, my love. I love you, my love. Sing to the sky with the holy of God. Always listen to God. If something bad is happening, he turns it into good. Sing to the sky with the holy of God. Sing to the sky with the holy of God. Sing to the sky with the holy of God. Amen to that.
Hello. Thank you, girls, for sharing. It just highlights how many challenges we have the whole way through the different stages of having our children. For those who don't know me, I'm Adele and I'm married to Richard and I have three children, Zach, who's 17, Matt, who's 15, and Sophie's 13. It's my job today to speak about being a parent of teenagers. I love being a mum. It's the best job ever, even though I find it exhausting at times. Even teenagers are exhausting. I looked after my 15-month-old cousin the other day and it nearly killed me running around after her all day. I've forgotten how hard that is. I look back now at the baby years and the toddler years and the primary school years and they just seem to fly by. Gone are the rocking to sleep days, the toilet training days, the teaching them how to do their shoelace days, don't talk to strangers, go to bed early, eat your veggies. I'm still doing that a little bit though with the veggie thing. Now it's things like teaching them to drive, getting them to part-time jobs, driving them to netball, basketball, cricket, picking up, picking university courses and subjects for year, their subjects at school. No one told me about this year 12 thing. It's full on, hey. Trying to monitor their sleep as they get older because they go to bed after me now and just having to trust that they'll make the right decision and be responsible to get themselves to bed and you know, how that affects the next day if they don't, to make sure that their homework is under control. Do I need to help them with it? Monitor the internet use, buying clothes that they're happy to wear, not just the ones on sale at Target, trying to model a good work ethic and getting them to share responsibilities at home, teaching them how the bank works, getting a key card, using an ATM, not using credit cards, how to catch public transport and preparing them to find and use their gifts and talents. There are many challenges of having a teenager and they say sometimes that bigger the kids, bigger the challenges, and I think there is some truth to that. I can see now that the values, discipline, the way that we, you know, taught them to respect others, use their manners, be kind, think of others, and earning our trust is coming into play now. These things have been a good foundation for the challenges that we as a family face in these years. Some of these challenges, the internet, monitoring, protecting your children on the internet, that is a huge thing to do, and trying to put things in place to teach them that posting on the internet is forever. People on the internet aren't who they are necessarily, and having to put things in place like a docking station in the kitchen by 9:30, all devices have to be logged in for the night. No more internet after that time. Everyone can go to bed there. I know where they are. All good. Trusting that they'll make the right decision with drugs and alcohol, you know, and trying to get the children to understand that it's not that we don't trust them, it's those other people around them that can't make as good a choices as them. In saying that, though, they do have to earn your trust and prove it and keep going with it, or otherwise they'll lose it. we have to hope that they make friends that support them in their Christian walk and that they're accepted and liked by others. They're things that you worry about as a parent, giving them independence to make decisions, to get out into the community. Like, you know, catching the bus or the train for the first time, it's nearly killed me. I'm so thankful for mobile phones. I don't know how my parents let me out of the house without a mobile phone because I know where they are all the time and they will text in. If they forget, they're in big trouble. It's challenging making those decisions as a parent that aren't popular. You can't be a friend a lot of the time. You have to be a parent, and that's tricky. And at the risk of sounding neurotic, because I am a bit of a control freak and I do have a germ thing, my biggest struggle of teenagers is not being able to control and fix everything. I just want to make everything okay, and I can't. You know, health issues, friend issues, work issues, school issues, and I know that you want them to be safe and happy all the time, and you can't do that all the time, and it kills you. And I guess at that point you just have to, God's got a plan, and he'll look after them. But as a human mum, that's really hard. I remember Zach going off to school for the first time. Wasn't it Oxley just saying when he was started high school? I dropped him off, this little 12-year-old walking through these big gates with 18-year-olds behind him, and I watched him walk through those gates, and physically, it's like my heart broke. I felt like I was feeding him to the lions. I was just, honestly, my inside, I just felt like something broke, and it was just knowing that I had to trust God and God would be with him and lead him through the day. There's lots of difficult situations that you have to let them grow through. You know, if they've got to make decisions about friends and so forth. I remember, and we all done it, when they were little, if you didn't like a friend, you just cancelled the play dates and made coffee dates with the parents of the ones you did like. You can't do that anymore. You have to trust that they will, you know, make... We've all done that. let's face it. I have found it difficult to stand back and watch them go off and do their different parts of life. But in saying that, they have to make wrong decisions, they have to learn by it, and you have to stand back, and that's really hard for me. A wise man said to me once, Adele, let go and let God. Actually, he said it a few times. Adele, let go and let God. And it is good advice, and it's hard to do every day. It's really hard. So I just pray to God every day that he'll guide them through the day, that they'll protect them, and that they will make good decisions, and to pray that Rich and I can do the best job that we possibly can do. Along with these challenges, there are rewards of having teenage children, believe it or not. I'm really enjoying as they're getting older. The rewards, we just share those together. We can pray and discuss issues together. Just, you know, more adult themes we can work through together. We can celebrate the accomplishments and awards that they achieve. We can laugh together. We can go out together. We can share our dreams together. Celebrate when they do make those good decisions and do okay, and see them growing into the adults that will be okay in this crazy world we live in. I have got beautiful kids and I love them to bits. I couldn't be more proud of the fine young men and women my children have become and the depth of their personal relationship with God. I pray every morning that the Lord would lead them through the day and guide them. I pray often for their future spouses and that they would be strong men and women of God. So there might be kids out there that they're getting an extra prayer from me every day almost. Hold on to that. I read a book once called The Father Heart of God, and it talked about God loaning us as human parents these beautiful children we have here on earth, and we are to love them, pray for them, guide them, help them find their gifts and talents, and do the best we can for them until they are back with their Heavenly Father one day. Ultimately, God has a plan for their lives, and we need to be there for them along the way and provide the best environment we can. At the same time, we don't get it right. There's many arguments and tears in our household, but we're just trying to do the best thing we can, and I'm just trying to be the best mum I can be. Thank you. Have a happy Mother's Day.
That was great, wasn't it? Love hearing the real stories and brings back memories for me. So as we've just heard, there's so many different stages of mothering. And as Gray always says, the umbilical cord is never broken. And that's so true. There's always that hard attachment, even when your kids are grown. So I've been a mum now for 37 years. That sounds amazing, doesn't it? My kids are 33, 35 and 37. So 37 years. But a mother's heart is always attached to their children, no matter what age they're at. And I'm sure my mum, who's now 91, could say exactly the same thing. From the time our children are born, our job is to love them, to take care of them, to nurture them, to teach them biblical values, to teach them life skills, to teach them how to handle issues, and to keep them safe from the dangers that they don't understand. And we've heard a lot about that from the girls that spoke before. We share our values with our children constantly by our words, but more significantly by our actions as we guide them towards adulthood. Our children are our future. They're the future of our church. They're the future of our nation. So as parents, we have a huge responsibility. There's a few differences during the stages of growing up, and we've heard a lot of them this morning. When they're young, there's a lot of helping. Helping is doing something for them that they're not capable of doing themselves. Then they get to the teens and we enable them. So enabling is allowing all the training that you've put in that has been sown into their lives over the years to now be acted upon. Things that they are able to do now themselves. We need God's wisdom on how to do our job effectively, no matter what stage we're at. And I think it was Amanda read the Deuteronomy scripture, and I just love this scripture. I'm going to read it again. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 to 7. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. That's our guide for bringing up kids today, diligently teaching them God's ways. We can't go wrong when we follow those words. Then we come to the adult stage. They've gone from home. They've grown up. Is our job as a parent finished? No, it hasn't, but it has definitely changed. So today we were asked to share on the challenges, the sacrifices, and the rewards of children in the different stages. And the stage I'm talking about is adult children, obviously. So for me, being the mum of adults, my challenge would definitely be not being involved in their everyday life as I was when I was younger. All those little things, everything. You know everything when you're a mum. I had to learn the art of letting go. So even while that umbilical cord's still attached, I had to let go. This has been something that I've actually made a conscious decision to do and to be aware of. And I've asked for God's wisdom to learn how to let go. And often it is easier said than done, but I try my best. When our kids were living at home, the expectation was that they would obey us as parents. And the Bible instructs that. And we tried to follow through on that. As adults, though, the Bible tells us that we should honour our parents. That's a big change. Being there for them with our advice or our input when they ask, but realising that they are no longer bound to accept it or act upon it. Once they're adults, we need to realise that they aren't always looking for our opinions, or they're not always looking for our input into their life. They make their own decisions. And you know what? It should be that way. After all, that's what we've trained them for all their lives while they've been in our care in the home. They're now independent adults in their own right. And with their husband or wife, they're making their own way through life together, just as Gray and I had years before. The scripture says in Matthew 19 and verse 5, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined inseparably to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. There is that letting go and that separation. Learning to let go. It's a very important part of parenting when they get to this age. So my heart's desire, and Gray's too, is to make our home now an environment where our children and their families enjoy coming back to. A place where we can share, have fun, and enjoy each other's company. Now we all know that a mum knows everything. She has eyes in the back of her head. When you're driving everywhere, we've always got eyes in the back of our head. Isn't that right? Well, having adult children has actually been very eye-opening too. We've learned lots of things that I didn't know, apart from all the technology stuff that I still don't understand, some of that, but lots of other things. When we thought that our precious little pumpkins were all tucked up in bed, sound asleep, we've since found out that this wasn't always the case. And you only find out these things when your kids are now adults. For instance, when they were younger, they would read under their doona until their torch batteries were used up. No wonder they were tired the next day. We thought they were asleep. Or another one we found out, they would climb out of their windows and up onto the roof at night when we were asleep to attach some wires to something or other that they were making. or they were making some cubby houses in places that I would have considered totally dangerous and I wouldn't have allowed it if I'd known about it. I'm sure I would never have done any of these things when I was young, so surely my children wouldn't either. Or they tell me, and I don't believe this one still, that my smacks didn't hurt. They say Dad's did, but mine didn't. We can laugh about these things now, and now that my kids are adults, it's such a rich and precious and beautiful stage of life to be in as a mum. I love watching my children now parent their own little ones. I'm enjoying actually sharing motherhood with my girls. I must admit, though, I sometimes do have to hold back a bit of a laugh when I see them coping with personality traits or childish actions that I had to learn how to manage. Life does come around. When I was thinking about this time of sharing on being a mum of adult children, I kept coming back to one most important thing that stood out to me. And that was the fact that right from when I was carrying them before they were born, I prayed for them every day. And I know some of the other girls talked about this as well. And I have prayed for them every day since. But not only for them, for the partners that they were going to choose to spend their life with. Then my prayer list grew from 3 children to 6 when they married. And now I've added 8 beautiful little people to my prayer list as well, my grandkids. The most important thing in parenting in any stage of life is praying. It is such an important part to parenting, and I can honestly say that I am now reaping the benefits of those prayers. There's such power in prayer, and I can't stress that enough, to be praying for our children. So the sacrifices. I thought about this and I thought, I can honestly say that I've enjoyed every stage of life with my kids. And when asked about the sacrifices of parenting, there's none that I wouldn't make again. Putting my family and their needs above myself and above all the distractions in life, including work and friends, was worth it all, absolutely. So the rewards, I'm a blessed mum with 3 beautiful children, 3 beautiful son and daughter-in-laws, and now 8 precious little grandchildren. What a beautiful reward for all the years of sacrifice, training, tough love, prayers, tears, fun and laughter. And I know that Gray would join with me in saying how blessed we feel to have been given the privilege of God entrusting these precious little lives into our hands. It's a privilege and an honour, and I love every moment of being a mum. Psalm 127:3 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward." And that's the truth. Thank you.